Good afternoon. Welcome to Katie and K. This is Everything Under the Sun. I'm your host, Raleigh Burley, joined in studio by James Steindler.
Hello, Carbondale and the beyond, and hello, Raleigh.
Hello, James. It's good to see you here on a beautiful, warm afternoon.
Absolutely. I was just up in Marble, actually, and it was really beautiful and warm up there.
I bet.
It was.
Crystal Valley is gorgeous right now.
It is, and it's, it wasn't too busy. Right now is the time to get up there before they open it up for ATV use this
right.
weekend.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. Memorial Day weekend coming up. I hear Redstone's having a whole plein air painting event.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to see some artists do some art live, I believe Larry Day is up there
That's
doing
right.
some watercolors.
That's right. He is.
And so today we are very pleased to be joined by Chief Kirk Wilson of Carbondale. Hello, Chief Wilson. How are you?
Hi, guys. Fantastic.
I want to move your mic there.
All right.
And then direct on.
Sorry, guys.
There we are, all situated.
Good.
Looking for that eye contact. Looking for the direction from the mic. So welcome to Everything Under the Sun and Katie and Kay. Is this your first time being interviewed here in the studio at Katie and Kay?
This is the first time on Katie and Kay, yes.
Awesome.
In the studio, yeah.
And you got a brief tour of the studio.
Got a brief tour. This is impressive.
Yeah, what do you think?
This is big. I had no idea what the interior looked like, and I had no idea how many CDs one place could hold.
Yeah.
This is great.
Lots of music, and it is. It's like the, you know, the real thing, real community radio. So it was a pleasure to give you that tour as well.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, just for, let's start this off on a fun note. And do you have a favorite type of music, Chief Wilson?
I am big hair.
Nice.
Enjoy 80s, 80s rock. I was actually in a traveling boy choir growing up. I was in the Cincinnati Boy Choir as well as the Phoenix Boy Choir when my family moved there. So I listened to just about everything from Sinatra. I noticed one of my favorite vinyls is sitting out there, which is the original Star Wars theme.
Nice.
Very prominently displayed. I have the same one. And yeah, you'll catch me listening to everything. John Philip Sousa, you name it. My one weakness is I'm not too familiar with jazz.
Okay.
So, but now that I'm getting older, I'm starting to listen a little bit more to that as well.
Well, we all could always listen to more jazz.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Since we kind of, you broached a bit, when did you come to the Valley? When did you move to the Valley?
Well, so I moved to Rifle way back in 2002.
Okay.
And we relocated last summer. So back in July, we moved into Carbondale.
Okay.
I took a position here, obviously, with the police department. I started in June as a lieutenant, and Chief Schilling retired in October,
mm-hmm.
and so I assumed the role of chief roughly October 5th.
Okay, cool. And was Rifle the first department that you worked for?
That was the first department I worked for.
And you said, did you start in 2002 there?
I did. I started in the fall of 2002.
So, and I'm sorry, just lots of follow-up questions
here.
Is that what brought you to Rifle, was the job?
Yeah, so my folks, I graduated from Arizona State University in 2002. My parents retired a second time out of Phoenix, moved to Grand Junction, where I have an older sister that lives there. And so I'm a mama's boy. I followed my parents like I thought I was supposed to. Immediately enrolled in the police academy after graduating from Arizona State. And then the first place that I applied, I got the job, and I was there ever since.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And what was it about law enforcement that attracted you to that line of work?
Wow. So growing up, I always wanted to serve in the military. But I developed type 1 diabetes, so that's juvenile diabetes, insulin-dependent diabetes, in junior high. And it kind of crushed me for a while because I couldn't do what I thought, you know, was my calling. I thought I was going to serve in the military for an entire career and be an aviator. Obviously, I got a little too tall for that, and diabetes prevented me from doing that. I took a summer job in Phoenix as a lifeguard, and it was in a pretty rough neighborhood in Phoenix. Officers were there frequently just hanging out, saying hi, and I got to know a few of them, and I did some ride-alongs, and I thought, wow, I can get paid to do this. I mean, every day the job is different. And it was a blast. And so, you know, I chose at that point, couldn't serve in the military, like most of my family had. And so law enforcement seemed like a good fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am.
Yeah. Well, and thank you so much for being here in the studio with us today.
Yeah.
And the purpose of today's conversation, we're going to recap a bit on the article that came out this week about the Citizens Academy.
Yes.
Can you tell us just what is a Citizens Academy?
So the Citizens Academy is an opportunity for people to come in, have conversations with officers. What we do is we block off about 2 hours of time. We're going to talk about a topic, roughly an hour and 15 minutes. The topics will range. You know, your article covered that pretty well. So evening, we'll talk about use of force. Mm-hmm. What are the laws around use of force? What's the case law around it? How are officers trained? And hopefully break some myths up about force. Break some myths up about what it is that patrol officers do or see every day. And then open up at the end of the day, kind of ask people to ask us questions. You know, what do you think about this? I mean, like, case law is one thing. Like, the law is very black and white. And case law kind of fills in a lot of that black and white for law enforcement. And so it's a great opportunity to just open the doors of the department, kind of bare our souls so that people can meet officers and just learn more about how their community is being policed.
What is case law, just to define that?
Oof. So I couldn't tell you the exact, you know, what the definition is, but in a sense, when a federal court or the Supreme Court rules on something, when they make a ruling, it affects everything that comes after that in a mm-hmm. similar scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not necessarily going to find all case law that's out there in the Colorado Revised Statutes it's the big book of laws. It's just stuff that's kind of you have to know about. And so every year, the district attorney's office and the AG's office goes to every law enforcement agency in the land, and they update what the case law is. And it's fascinating what you learn. What was okay a year ago, 2 years ago, may not be okay at the end, at the beginning of this year. So it's always changing, and it comes out of the court system or the laws.
Cool. You mentioned the breaking the myths about a myth about use of force. Can you give an example of a myth?
Sure. You know, of course, now that I'm being put on the spot, probably not. But what, like we discussed the other day, was that a lot of people, my hope is that someone comes in and they walk away from this being a little bit more educated as far as what they're seeing and what they're reading, you know, so that we have an educated population. So if someone, let's say somebody watches a video on YouTube and normally they would go, oh, whoa, why'd that officer do that? Now, after going through the class, there's an opportunity for them to kind of see things from the officer's perspective of, hey, maybe the officer was attempting to do this, and this is how it all unfolded. I know I'm not really explaining that too well, but it kind of sheds some light on what we do.
Are there times when officers maybe need to take action before they know all the facts?
There are definitely times. There are definitely times like that. The beautiful thing about Carbondale is that there are very few times where it requires exigency. Typically, officers have a tremendous amount of time to make a decision. So much time that they usually are able to contact via cell phone, even a supervisor, and just say, hey, this is what's going on. What do you think the best course of action is?
Cool. Going back, to the Citizens Academy, there's five different topics that will be broached, correct?
Yes.
And just for our listeners, I'll read those in a moment, but how did you choose those five topics?
So it kind of comes from polling people. So since I've been here in October, I started going out and just meeting people, and it's meeting people in their offices, meeting people on the street, just having conversations. And asking them, what do you like, what you do not like about the police department? And then delving deeper into those conversations. At the same time, then I can sit down with officers and say, hey, what are the most common things that people ask you? What are the things that people want to know when they wave at you or flag you down and just say, hey, I heard this happen in Denver. I heard this happen, this happened to a friend of mine. What do you think about that?
Mm-hmm.
That's a really common interaction for us. And so it's kind of fun for us to just get out there, get in front of people and just say, hey, what do you want to know?
Totally.
And just answer the questions.
Okay. And just for our listeners, those subjects that you helped Chief Wilson come up with, the community, are one, use of force; two, the Fourth Amendment, which applies to search and seizure; three, police operations; four, the school resource program; and five, crime scene investigations. Just for our listeners who don't know much about the Fourth Amendment, could you kind of recap on that?
So the Fourth Amendment essentially says that you won't be subject to search and seizure given certain circumstances. And so we want to talk about those things. An officer needs a warrant to enter your home unless X, Y, and Z is going on. And there are some exceptions to the Fourth Amendment as far as search and seizure. And I think it's really timely for this topic to be discussed. Mm-hmm. So we have Colorado red flag laws and mm-hmm. That's one of the big ones, because we don't know, although the laws have been signed, every district attorney's office has given agencies in their jurisdiction different advice on how it's going to be handled.
Mm-hmm.
And so until a really big case comes forward in Colorado, there's not a whole lot of guidance to that one. Now, the Supreme Court just heard a case just recently about officers entering the home of a disturbed individual that was making some threats. After that person left with crisis workers and got help, officers went into the home and seized firearms. That's pretty much a no-brainer. That's not okay. You can't just walk into somebody's home and take their firearms. And I don't recall what state that actually happened in. But there's very little guidance right now with red flag, especially with Colorado. And so we want to at least share as much information that we have right now. Obviously, it's going to change. It's going to continue to change because it is so new.
Mm-hmm.
For listeners just tuning in, this is Everything Under the Sun, and today we are joined by Chief Kirk Wilson here to talk about the Community Citizen Academy. And Chief Wilson, you joined the force as the chief really at the height of kind of this defund the police movement. And so speaking to questions that might come up in this academy, there's a lot of emphasis I've seen placed on the challenges that officers face. You're expected to do an extraordinary job where not only are you putting yourselves in the line of danger, but you're also caseworkers. You have to deal with individuals that might be intoxicated, that might be mentally ill.
Yes.
You don't really know what you're walking into. And I just wonder how you see that critique and how it relates to what you do?
And Raleigh, that's a great question, because it's defund the police to everyone on the street means something completely different.
Right.
You know, it, like, it goes from one extreme of no more police to let's essentially take some different responsibilities away from law enforcement so that they can actually do what law enforcement should be.
Right.
And so Carbondale has been on the cutting edge of that for quite a while. So we work with the Hope Center, formerly the Aspen Hope Center. A good chunk of our budget goes to the Hope Center, so that the town of Carbondale has a crisis worker available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We kicked that off in Garfield County, and now the Hope Center is doing that, providing that service for just about all of the other law enforcement agencies in the Valley, which is amazing because it takes a tremendous amount of stress away from officers. Officers don't receive training in counseling and crisis work.
Right.
The training that they receive is very little in that area, if at all. And so, let's put that back in the hands of professionals. We'll certainly go to a scene where a crisis worker is needed, but it's the crisis worker that's looking to us. Is the scene safe? And then we look to them to say, hey, whenever you're comfortable, we're going to leave, because we're not doing a whole lot of good in most scenarios. Defund the police. There are some good aspects of it. The police department is a clearinghouse for every call under the sun.
Right.
We get people calling, asking what time it is. So it's about time, you know, take some of those responsibilities away from law enforcement, for sure. I'm okay with that.
Was that incorporation of the Hope Center a response, or was Carbondale already doing that previous to the summer?
Summer? I don't know the history of how we specifically got involved in that. Now, I will look into it, because we contact Michelle Muthing, who runs the Hope Center, quite frequently. That just hasn't, with COVID, I haven't had an opportunity to sit down face to face with her too often and have those conversations.
Also, I was excited to hear that there will be a Spanish version following the English version of the Citizens Academy.
Absolutely.
Very cool. And that will also be taught by Carbondale officers.
All Carbondale officers, yes.
Very cool. And will there be a graduation ceremony following both, or will they be...
So the last day will be a few hours on a Saturday morning, where we'll set up some stations. We'll do some fingerprinting. We'll work with some other, I guess you would call, like, crime scene investigation, CSI skills, and then we'll set up scenarios for people to partake in. And the whole thing is optional. At the end of all of that, we'll get everybody back together and we'll do a little graduation ceremony. And then the hopes is that we can get before the town trustees for a little recognition as well.
Great. Cool.
And how do people sign up for that whose interests are piqued?
Yes. So right now, due to the COVID and the unknown, each session we're going to hold just 12 people and see how that works out, because there's a possibility we might have to go to Zoom. We just don't know all of the scenarios on that. Go to the Carbondale Police Department's website, and we should have an application up and running. I believe it was coming up this afternoon.
All right.
And there's a flyer on there as well. So all the information you could ever want to know about it should be on there. And if the information isn't available or you have more questions, go ahead and give me a call.
Is that 911? No.
that would not be 911 in this scenario. So the phone number would be 963-2662. And any of the officers know just enough information to get us all in trouble.
And one more time.
963-2662.
And you mentioned in the article to James that this is something Rifle's been doing for a while, that you're a little bit bringing over to Carbondale that you've seen be effective.
Yeah, so this is a very common theme in police agencies. So Rifle has done it off and on. Carbondale's actually participated alongside basalt police departments, but we haven't held one, to my knowledge, we haven't held one here specifically with Carbondale officers. And that's really our goal. Put our officers out there, let them bare their souls, you know, let the community come in and ask questions and learn who's policing and what it is that they actually do. Hopefully we encourage people to do ride-alongs afterwards. And you know, the better our community understands what we do, the better off we all are.
I would like to ask, leading off of that. So it's kind of to help bridging, between the community and law enforcement. And there's a inherent distrust some people feel towards law enforcement. I actually saw someone who is not the was the victim of being hit this morning, and then outside the Smithy, you may have heard about
this.
Yeah. And they were, and they ended up taking off, the person who was hit, I believe, I was told. Yeah. But maybe just because they had a fear of legal repercussions.
Absolutely.
But can you speak to, is this going to kind of help? Is this intended to help diminish?
That is exactly what it's intended to
okay.
do. You know, like one thing that we're asked often is, what's your relationship with immigration? Well, so, and it's not very well known, but we actually have a proclamation here in town. We will not pass information on to immigration.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't, you know, we don't ask people, we don't document, you know, anywhere if someone is, what their status is. We're not interested in that. And how would a local law enforcement agency be able to police the entire community if a portion of the community wasn't able to trust them? So, you know, local law enforcement, Carbondale especially, years ago signed a proclamation that would not happen, and mm-hmm. it doesn't happen.
Great. And also for, in terms, I guess, even Anglos or anyone in the community, just building that trust
with absolutely.
The police department.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we're a part of the community,
mm-hmm.
And we want people to feel welcome and comfortable talking to us. If someone's not sure about what's going on, and you don't want to talk to me, talk to one of our other officers. I mean, you know, it's not a big department. There are currently 14 of us sworn, but there are officers, you know, Officer Paul Lazo, you'll see him sitting downtown on a park bench, just waving at people and saying hi.
Mm-hmm.
And he's down there so that people, because he's been around for a while, people recognize his face and they feel comfortable talking to him. And so, you know, he answers a lot of questions just sitting on a park bench saying hi.
That was one thing you mentioned to me the other day that was in the article, how you just want people to come in and ask questions to anyone,
even absolutely.
If it's not you, but just to feel free to come in and ask questions at the police department.
Yeah, for sure. You know, a lot of people want to know, you know, how to, if they're going out of town for a while, what should I do? Who should I contact? Who should I tell? You know, how do I harden my home so it's not it's unlikely to be burglarized? Ask those questions. Call us up. So I think you'd be amazed at some of the responses for sure.
And you're expecting some probably some hard questions when you launch this Citizens Academy?
Absolutely.
And one thing you mentioned was inviting folks who are skeptical of law enforcement.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we're a part of the community, and we're only as good as our community will let us. Right. So, if the community doesn't want us, and doesn't contact us, doesn't trust us, then how can we do our job? We're essentially ineffective, and we become very reactive, and that's what we don't want to happen. We want people to feel comfortable just passing us in the street or at a bonfire, coming up and asking questions. Hey, I'm going out of town. I saw this the other day. Can you tell me what was going on? I mean, obviously we can't discuss everything, but our policy is to be as transparent as possible.
Thank you so much, Chief Kirk Wilson, for joining us on Everything Under the Sun.
Thank you.
Once again, that link should be live for people to apply for the Citizen Academy on the Carbondale website. Yes. And it will be in person in the park, I hear. And
it will be in person at Town Hall Room 2.
Okay.
The
All
big
right.
room.
Yeah,
inside.
The community room at Town Hall.
And 5 weeks, right?
5 weeks. You sign up and you are committed to 5 weeks.
That's correct. Thank
Come
you.
Come and ask Chief Wilson your questions.
Absolutely.
Well, have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thanks.